No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed this week. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Merry Christmas Eve to you.
Merry Christmas Eve to you, too.
Yeah, you sound like you've already been nipping on the eggnog there, Ed.
Well, you know, 'tis the season after all.
Yes, okay. Fair enough. But you're going to have to, you know, inject some caffeine into that thing, too.
Oh, no.
No, it's the holidays. You're allowed to.
You're mixing antidepressant with depressant. You don't do that.
You got to understand, usually it's our passengers that we put to sleep, not each other.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but look, it's Christmas Eve, so anything goes.
Yep.
And, you know, Ed'll manage, and I might have a nip or two of that as well. Keith is not here today because, well, it's Christmas Eve. He doesn't work on Christmas Eve.
He doesn't work.
Well, okay, we'll go with that.
Wait, no, that's you.
What? No.
You don't work.
I'm here doing my due diligence and putting in my time, even on a holiday. Because this is an official holiday, even for our crew here at Just Plane Radio. But I'm here. I'm dedicated, and I'll be here next week, too.
Well, good for you.
All right. Okay.
I won't be.
That's my best pitch.
I'll be in Jacksonville.
Okay. All right. Well, we have Tom Haynes from AOPA, though, and I think we both can agree he does work for a living.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Tom, how are you, and Merry Christmas, buddy.
Hey, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, ho, okay. So it's
Green Giant. Is that what? Oh, no, it's not Green Giant.
Why not? I'm not going to judge. But look, we're going to navigate the latest aviation news and information, despite the fact that it's Christmas Eve. I don't know. First of all, has anyone gotten any updates from, NORAD on Santa? They've already started tracking.
I haven't looked at it lately.
He's on his way?
Yeah.
He's on his way. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, do you guys do that as well?
We'll probably miss some incoming missiles, but by gosh, we'll know where Santa Claus is.
Yeah, he won't be dropping off any presents to us. We've been way too naughty. But he might, launch a grenade or two. Or, a brown paper bag filled with poo, is my guess. I don't know. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about some stuff that caught my eye this week. As we round up a special Christmas Eve edition of Just Plane Radio. Okay, so, Tom, I know you guys had this on AOPA because I basically got it from you guys. But
okay.
I saw this.
Still from the best.
That's right. I absolutely. I do. Arlington Airport has a coyote problem, and I didn't read this in the headline, but it looks like they've taken a page from the Trump playbook here because they're going to build a wall.
whatever it takes.
Yes, they're building a wall to keep the coyotes at bay in Arlington Airport.
And they're gonna make Roadrunner pay for it.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
My question is, how deep are they going to make the wall?
Well, yeah, it has some fencing, and there'll be variations of electronic. No, I don't know what the heck.
Saying is the wall won't help if it's a coyote. They'll dig under it.
They'll dig under it. True.
I have a husky, which is basically, a descendant of a coyote or a wolf.
Yeah.
And, he's the best escape artist ever. He'll go under the fence. He could go over it, but he'll go under it first. He'll dig a hole and go under it.
Okay. I don't know. Is this usually the typical plan to keep coyotes at bay is a wall or a fence or something like that, or do you know, Tom?
Well, I mean, any kind of critters on an airport, of course, is not a good thing. I mean, usually, hunting is one solution, or in the case of something that is closer to a varmint like a coyote, they sometimes have been known to trap and or poison, which not everybody agrees with, but until you've hit one, perhaps with your airplane. Dogs, of course, with birds and that sort of thing are really effective in keeping those sorts of critters away from an airport.
But yeah,
maybe they could train the coyotes
to keep the birds away. Yeah.
Well, that's one idea.
They're training hawks how to take down drones, so why don't they train coyotes to take yeah. down hawks.
Well, you were joking about them trying to get Mexico to pay for the wall, but they actually have. The city has requested that the FAA grant roughly $1.2 million for the construction of this, well, fencing is what they're calling it, I guess.
Okay.
But
so.
It sounds like a wall to me, you know.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Could be.
And I don't know. You think will the FAA go for it? Well, they. I mean, what, you think they're up in arms about this right now? Or are they, oh, yeah, sure. We'll throw them a couple. We'll throw them a mill.
Actually, that's something they would spend money on at the FAA because yeah. it's a safety factor at the
airport.
They
don't like Wile E. Coyote? Really?
They don't like Wile E.
They're not
Coyote.
A fan.
Wile E. Coyote.
Okay. So, I mean, is that how you feel about it too, Tom? Well, you think the FAA will cough up for something like that? That's what
yeah,
they
probably
do?
Would. It's probably right from a safety standpoint if they can make the case. And, of course, the FAA loves their airport fencing anyhow. And, and no matter
keeps prospective pilots out.
Yeah.
That's right. We can't have any of those pesky interested people away near the airport. So
right.
Yeah, I've got couple instances with that here in the last few weeks. They're changing things around at our airport, and used to be you could come out and sit on the front porch of the FBO and mm-hmm. watch airplanes. Yeah, they're not going to let people out there anymore.
What, you can't even sit outside the FBO? No, really?
No, you know how the porch is there, and yeah. You know, it's got all those nice chairs?
Right.
Nope, they're going to stop that.
Really? So, what, do you got to stay inside the door yeah. and just hang in the lobby and just watch outside the window?
Yep.
Oh, what's that all about? They just think it's...
Well, the airport authority is cracking down on security. They've had people wandering the ramp and
yeah.
things like that. And it's not an air carrier airport, so it shouldn't have
really?
The same level of security that I don't... I can't directly attribute it to the FBO. They're the ones that told us about it. But they said they really didn't think it was necessary. But mm-hmm. they're, and in fact, some of the doors in our building are going to get those electronic locks on it to where you have to have a card to access the ramp.
Hmm.
You know, so we are definitely, and once again, that's normal at an air carrier airport, not at a GA airport.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, it used to be that they'd just set out a food tray and poison it, right? If in case, you know, old folks were hanging out there and getting too close to the planes. But they're changing their approach. Fencing not going to work either. They're just going to lock them in the FBO, right?
That's right.
Hmm. Okay. Have we ever had a coyote problem here at Orlando Executive?
Oh, yeah.
We
Absolutely.
Have. What'd they do?
There are two that live out there.
There's two, so they don't mind that we have coyotes running around the airport?
Well, I took off one night, and there was one strolling across the runway. I could see him with the beady eyes.
No beady eyes, yeah.
With the light.
You sure wasn't an armadillo?
He didn't move. He stood in the center of that runway, and I took off over the top of him. I looked straight down as I went over the top of him, and he was marking his territory right on the center line of that runway.
And then you marked
his... Or he was scared of me taking off over him. I don't know which, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but there was clearly a reflection of liquid underneath them in the moonlight.
Yeah, so I remember Keith talking about...
Well, that sounds almost romantic the way you say it.
Well,
I'll tell you about a gator they found out there one night, too. It didn't end nearly as well.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, Keith has told a story where he took out some coyotes, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't at Orlando Executive.
No, that wasn't Executive.
All right. So they don't seem to mind having the coyotes wandering around Orlando Executive.
No, they got to chase them off.
Okay. Down at Arlington's airport, they
but it's
have
not,
too many.
Yeah. It's not like it's a big issue. It's one or two.
Well, we have armadillos. That's probably more of a problem than...
No, actually, turtles are more common.
Turtles and armadillos are kind of like nature speed bumps,
yeah,
aren't they?
They did have a gator problem one night. And airport ops were told about it, so they drove out to it because an airplane saw the gators, crossing the taxiway. And
yeah,
airport ops gets out there and realizes it's about a 7-8 foot gator.
Huh.
And so
believe it.
So they call for animal control.
Okay.
And so then this is going on while we're making takeoffs and landings in the traffic patterns. We're hearing all the side conversation between tower and airport ops. And so then the airport ops guy leaves the gator, goes and gets the animal control guy and comes back and they, relocate the gator. And, you know, that all of a sudden they're calling up and ready to leave. And the tower guy was like, that was awful quick. He said, you caught him that quick? He said, no, we didn't catch him.
Oh, so what'd they do?
They shot him.
Oh, well, that's one way to catch him.
And so, you know, the controller said, so you shot him? I said, yeah, he shot him. Problem is, the first shot didn't kill him. And then we're trying to put him into the truck, and he started moving.
Oops. Oh. And then it turned into a whole comedy bit that showed up on YouTube or some audio
tape.
Well,
it was at night, so no, it didn't. Yeah. But yeah.
But his wife is getting gator shoes or boots for Christmas.
Yeah. Exactly. A new purse. I like it.
God bless him. All right. Well, there you go. I never thought we'd start talking about gators on Christmas Eve, but
it's Florida.
What the heck? We got more of that and then some next on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Boy, these gusty winds appear to be playing havoc with that giant nutcracker float. At this point, I can't even see the nuts. They must have blown away.
Oh, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Santa's run off to the Caribbean. A week in the tropics and he'll be alright. Sporting a tan as he rides out of sight. Merry Christmas to all and to all. Good night.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, our co-pilot,
we'll be back in a week. Don't worry, kid.
Captain Ed and Tom Haynes just from AOPA helping us out today as well on a special Christmas Eve edition of the big show. All right, so there's been some aviation news going on. It's been pretty active considering, you know, it's like a holiday week.
I know, man. It has surprised me. I've mentioned that a couple times this week. Usually, you know, this last week before the holidays, it's really pretty quiet. But, man, you're right. There's been a lot of news this week and a lot of stuff going on in the industry.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, he couldn't join us today, but Dennis, one of our regulars here at Just Plain Radio, was up there by the Cirrus factory. He lives up there, and he ran out there on Monday afternoon, and he called me up earlier this week, and he said, "Oh man, you should have called me. You should have. Oh, this was so great. I went out there. I was trying to get like half price off Cirrus logo stuff. They were having a Christmas sale.
Yeah,
And I went over there, and they had a red carpet laid out. I'm like, they did, you know, totally went crazy. But it wasn't for him.
No.
Really?
It was
so
for...
Is that like 50% off like an SR-22? That's a logo.
That's,
that would be, yeah.
Well, let's go.
I might even buy one then.
Right.
Yeah,
sign
with Greg's credit card.
No, it was like hats are now only like 20 bucks instead of 40 or something. I don't know. But he cleaned up, he said. Hopefully I got something under the tree tomorrow.
All expecting things from Dennis.
Exactly.
With Cirrus logos on them.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll be waiting.
But yeah, he didn't score the big thing. But he said, yeah, it happened to coincide. He didn't realize they were delivering the first what aircraft? Which one was it, Tom?
Their jet, the SF-50 Vision jet, single-engine jet.
That's the one we looked at at NBA there, Greg.
That one. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. So they delivered the first one. Do we know who it was or, you know, who that – I mean,
yeah, it was a commercial real estate developer called Joe Wiesenhunt, who we actually met and interviewed at NBA there in Orlando in this fall. And I think he's only been flying since, 2008, I think it is, and he's owned – like either 9 or 11 Cirruses during that time period. He's really burned through them as he's moved, you know, from I think an SR-20 up through multiple SR-20s and 22Ts and put the order in the jet, and he's the first one to get the jet. So,
well, the real estate market is back, evidently.
Apparently so.
He's doing good.
Yeah, in Arkansas, of all places. Conway,
really?
Arkansas.
Interesting. All right. So he took delivery of his jet, and they made it a big to-do. Being the first one, and had the red carpet out for him as well. I don't know if I'm hoping they gave him a free hat. Maybe
I would think so. I think probably.
I usually give away hats, headsets, and stuff like that when you're in that price range.
True, but evidently they're running a Christmas sale, according to Dennis. So I don't know. You got to fly in that plane, right? When it was at NBAA, didn't you fly in it, Tom? Or no?
No, they haven't let me or anybody else in the media fly it yet. They're saying maybe February, so I'm biding my time at this point. But it looks really interesting. You know, it's pretty exciting, actually. Cirrus has been working on this thing since, I think, about 2007 when they announced it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long time coming. And then, as near as I can tell, at least in modern history, it's the first single-engine civilian jet.
Yeah.
So it kind of sets a lot of... Breaks a lot of new ground, I guess. It'll be interesting to see how the market responds and actually how air traffic control responds to an airplane that's certified only to 28,000 feet flying and, you know, flying about 300 knots. So, I mean, TBMs are in that neighborhood, too. So I guess from a speed standpoint, ATC shouldn't have too many issues with it. But it'll be fun to hear them the first time on the frequency, anyhow.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And it looked impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it. I was like, yeah, I'll take one of them. And,
Thoughtfully designed, interesting interior, the way the seats can be configured.
Yep.
And the way they've also mirrored the handling characteristics, I'm told, and also the panel to be very much like the SR-22s, so make an easy transition for their piston air customers into the jet.
Right. Well, Ed even looked at me and said, you know, you could even fly this plane. So it just goes to show how...
If you had enough money.
Well, money is no object. Come on, let's be real.
Well, we know what makes airplanes fly, don't we?
No, do tell.
I don't know. What?
You tell me.
Me? No. I make him fly. No?
What makes an airplane fly?
Citibank.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Money.
I was going to say Santa. I don't know, magic dust something?
Some people think it's Lyft, but it's really money.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is. It's all just right. large infusions of cash.
Large infusions.
Without money, you can't buy fuel. Without fuel, you can't create thrust. Mm. Without thrust, you cannot create lift. So thus, money is the one key factor that you have to have.
Right. Now, where do we get money? China. At least that's what Diamond did this week as well. They had some news that got out there. What, China has done an influx or taken over a piece of, what, Diamond Air? Is that what it is, Ed?
Diamond Aircraft Corp.
Diamond Aircraft?
Yeah, Diamond Aircraft. The Canadian portion of Diamond Aircraft. And it's actually an Austrian company.
Yeah.
And started by Christian Dries. And but they've had a Canadian division in London, Ontario, I guess, for quite a while.
Yeah.
And that's where several of the models have been built, and it's this Chinese investor has bought a significant portion of the Chinese part of the company, and they're going to be infusing some money into that, start building more of the airplanes, the DA-40s and DA-62s at least, which are the diesel-powered twin.
So, and,
you know,
So they just bought into the Canadian company, but they didn't buy into the Austrian parent company?
Hmm.
That's the way I understand it. It's kind of a complex
deal.
That
is complex.
So it's the Canadian subsidiary that they own a chunk of, and they manufacture, like I said, particularly the DA-40s and the DA-62s. I think the DA-42, which is the smaller, less powerful twin, is going to continue to be built in Austria,
mm-hmm.
but the others are going to be built in Canada.
Hmm. So is this good or bad, or do we have any clue whatsoever? I have no idea.
Well, you know, the company has really been struggling the last few years, and so they did bring out the DA-62, which is a really, really nice airplane.
Oh, yeah. I had really a customer test fly one of those. It was very nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And very sophisticated. So, but this, I think, will give them some additional cash to make more improvements to the airplanes, and also, of course, has started speculation that they will once again fire up their single-engine jet, which originally was a competitor to the SF-50 from Cirrus. They both got launched at about the same time, but the Diamond project kind of ran out of steam after they had some issues. Their single engine uses two engine airlets, buries the engine in the back of the fuselage and uses engine airlets on either side of the airframe,
mm-hmm.
which is much more complicated than the way Cirrus approached it, which is basically plant the engine on the top of the back of the fuselage and just have air enter directly into it, which isn't quite as sexy looking, but it's much simpler and easier to implement.
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty sexy looking, I think.
Yeah.
I like them. I'll buy, if you go serious, you're buying American, though, right?
No.
They're owned by the Chinese.
They're owned by Chinese, too.
Oh, okay. So either way, it doesn't really matter.
Can't beat them, join them.
Okay, fair enough. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Merry Christmas Eve to you. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed, and from AOPA we have Tom Haynes helping us today as well. All right, so here's a story. This is not necessarily a new story, but it popped up on my radar once again because I guess this week hackers have exposed security flaws with major airlines' entertainment system, specifically the Panasonic entertainment system that like 12 major airlines use. I mean, like Emirates, Virgin, Qatar. They use this thing, they use some kind of Panasonic branded, entertainment mm-hmm. system, and these hackers have gotten in there and taken control of things. Now, I don't know if they're just stealing emails from like the DNC or, they're doing other things.
that's so fashionable these days.
Yes, it is. I don't know if they say, does it say they took control of the airplane? They think they can do that in theory?
I'm not sure that's happened. I mean, what they talk about in the news stories this week have been about taking over the entertainment systems, maybe accessing people's credit card information, when you swipe your card to watch a movie in flight.
Right, right. Frequent flyer passengers can get their credit cards hacked or whatever, and personal
it's
information.
It's also, I think, providing incorrect altitude and speed information on the moving maps on the back of your seat. So,
right.
If you're trying to fly the airplane from 24D...
Which Greg tries to do.
Yeah.
Just beware that your speed may be
so incorrect. Really the worst they're doing is like you order Finding Dory and some porno comes up on the seat in front of you. Like, I didn't order it. I swear I didn't order that.
He said as he keeps watching.
Exactly. Oh, you were there? Oh, geez. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's something we should be concerned with or not, but they're looking into it. It doesn't sound like a very positive thing. And I don't want them to get rid of the entertainment. That's the only thing that makes those friggin' commercial flights tolerable. You hear what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Other than that, I need a new plane. Santa, are you listening? just drop it off, fly it in, land it right under, park it under the tree. We'll be good for tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Hey!
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
Christmas is the time to say I love you.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes helping us out today. And check him out every week at AOPALive.org. And him and Melissa handling the news visually as well as, verbally for you. Great stuff you guys do every week. I really I enjoy watching you guys, Tom.
Thanks.
I feel kind of a creeper telling you that in a way. So, but then I think it's more of a personal problem I have. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I've had worse. You know,
okay.
It's when the guys come up to me, and you know, the show comes out on Thursdays normally, and the guys will come out to me sometimes with their wife sitting next to them, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, I just love watching you in bed every Thursday night."
Boy, that is
That kind of creeps me out, I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel good about myself then. I feel much better. But anyway, let's talk about some other news, floating around the aviation world. Now, you guys know more about this story than I do. The Barefoot, what is this, Ed?
Barefoot Bandit.
The Barefoot Bandit. Okay, so he is, I don't know about him.
How can you miss this? If you were at all interested in aviation, it was national news a few years back.
A few years. Was it before I started doing the show, though?
I don't remember.
I mean,
it was like 2008-ish.
Yeah, see,
yeah,
that'd be
before the show.
See, because I know the Barefoot Man, who resides in the Cayman Islands. He's a diving parody music guy. I know I've heard of a Barefoot something, or I don't know. That might have been Bigfoot. So I don't know about the Barefoot Bandit.
Barefoot, but.
So he was known for stealing airplanes.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Flying them, then crash landing them or kind of quasi landing them.
So he wasn't stealing them. He was borrowing them
Have had a lesson or two, but was never certified.
Oh. So.
And was stealing airplanes and flying them around, crash landing them and leaving them.
Interesting. Right. Okay.
The last flight, the flight that he got caught on, he was basically going cross country doing this, literally from one end of the country to the other. The last airplane he stole was a Cessna 400, the Corvallis, and flew it to the Bahamas and crash landed in the surf and escaped. They did eventually catch him down there, and he did go to jail.
And I assume he was barefoot.
I have no idea if he was barefoot or not, but that's what they called him.
He was. He was 17 at the time.
Yeah.
And he would break into hangars, and like one of them, I think up in the Northwest somewhere, had a grill and like a refrigerator with some steaks or something in it. And so he cooked himself some steaks and had a nice time in the hangar. And then he, takes the airplane out, fires it up, and takes off and steals it, crashes it somewhere else, and finds another hangar, picks up another airplane. And he did this. He'd break into people's hangars, steal stuff from the hangars.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always, leaving shoes behind, I think, as I recall what it was, which is the reason he got the Barefoot Bandit thing. And he also, I think, when they found him, he wasn't wearing shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's an idiot, is what you're saying.
And I think he was sort of taunting police and whatnot as the whole
thing. Yeah, I think there were social
leaving
media.
Leaving notes and that sort of thing.
And social media posts, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Okay.
But this he's got the new wrinkle this week is, now that he's 25 instead of 17 and out of jail, he's got a GoFundMe campaign going for he wants to raise $125,000 because he loves flying so much that he wants to learn to fly for real now, and he wants you and me to help fund him all the way through his helicopter ratings and ATP.
Well, what a story that inspires everyone listening right now. Wouldn't that encourage you to want to donate, especially on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Yeah. It warms my heart.
Warms.
I kind of want to search him out and say, hey, dude, you owe me $50.
I think he's just another typical millennial that wants everything handed to him, but, you know.
Or he just takes it.
or he'll take it because he's entitled.
So here's a question for you, Ed.
Yeah.
Being Mr. CFI and flight school owner and all that. And
I would not accept him as a customer.
Reason ATP. So, okay, A, would you take him a customer? But B, would he be eligible for an ATP? Because there is that sort of morality clause there in the ATP application.
You know, you're right. And almost, did they take that out of the regs, though?
I'm not sure.
Now, what are you saying? What
do
you mean?
I do believe it's still there. There's a statement in the eligibility requirements for an airline transport pilot be of high moral character.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people that are ATPs that don't qualify.
Yeah, I know a few of those.
95% of the airline pilots, if you see them on a layover, you will realize they don't qualify.
Mm-hmm. So you could make that judgment call on Barefoot Bandit. You could say,
well, I don't know if you could or not. I mean, he claims to be, you know, reformed after having spent some time in jail and all this sort of thing. It claims to be legit. However, when I just caught up the GoFundMe page where he's raised just this week $1,450. However, it popped up with a message that said that this GoFundMe campaign is no longer accepting donations.
Yeah.
It appears that you can still donate, though.
Yeah, I was reading something there that the feds shut that down.
What, they already shut down his funding campaign?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
So, yeah, that is actually a good question is, okay, where you know, when it comes to the ATP morality clause, you know, what kind of teeth does that have? Probably not much, but I would know that...
I think it's morally acceptable to require shoes. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, there's nothing in the FARs that say
you
must
wear shoes. Have you
smelled
those things? Holy crap!
Shoes when you fly. And I believe
I know guys who are flying seaplanes fly flip-flops all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and I know people that take their shoes off when they get in the airplane, you know, and because they want to have a better feel of the rudder.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. And you're okay with that, or would you say, hey, dude, really, this is a good place for a stick-up?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan.
To the fire, you know, when the fire starts, you know, ahead of your feet. I think maybe I'd like to at least have some shoes on.
Yeah, that little wall in front of you, that's called a firewall, and if it comes through there, it's going to be extremely hot.
I'll be able to feel the temperature better.
And we do tell people when they're coming in for Discovery flights, no sandals, you know, closed-toed shoes, so that your feet don't fall off the rudder pedals.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with hygiene.
Has nothing to do with hygiene.
Okay, just wondering.
Oh, we could go into that for hours on end, training people that have hygiene issues.
We had one instructor.
If we had a customer come in that had hygiene problems, and some of these were international customers, most of them, let's say, that you know, if they came in and there was problems, we would give them to this one instructor. He kept, in fact, Doug, you've met him. He's been on the show with us before.
Yeah. Did he get like the short end of the stick? You got to take all the stinky ones.
He did. He got all the ones that had hygiene issues, and he kept a pack of Irish Spring in his locker.
Yeah.
And if he got one, he'd come out of the airplane, he'd go to his locker, he'd get the bar Irish Spring, he'd take him, he'd say, put your hand out. He'd slap it in your hand and said, this is soap. We use it every time we shower. And we shower at least once a day. Got it? Now, if you're in Florida and you need, because it's hot and sweaty, you need to shower twice a day, do it. And they would.
Okay. So he was just
message received.
More forceful.
He was very much more blunt. Forward about it and blunt. Like, you need to shower every day, sometimes twice a day, and you must use soap when you do it.
You stinky, you no fly, or something. Like,
basically.
All right.
Because you're in a confined space there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that does get pretty rank. I've flown with some people who have, you know, decent hygiene, but let's face it, after a long day of flying in the summertime, pretty much any of us could probably get to that point, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, God help you if you're, you know, flying in the afternoon after, you know, a Mexican buffet or something. You know what I'm saying? But there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Irish Spring is not going to help that.
That's not going to help that, no.
Well, it depends on where you put it. Hello.
I guess, yes.
Okay.
You knew he had to go there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, the Barefoot Bandit has been grounded, it sounds like to
it
me.
It appears.
Yeah. But it's an interesting concept. I mean, how many people have done a GoFundMe campaign and to fund their flight lessons or something like that?
No, that happens occasionally. I hear about people trying to do that, think they're a worthy cause. And, occasionally there is somebody that's had a real bad situation in their lives and maybe deserve some help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Barefoot Bandit guy, I think he's found out the solution to the cost of aviation, the cost of learning to fly. If everybody just stole airplanes and went out and used them, think how much cheaper that would be.
Yeah. Well, he's just now realizing after spending time in jail that, maybe I ought to learn how to fly it before I steal it.
Yeah.
That would be a better plan of action.
He claims he had no lessons, and he'd not even used a flight simulator when he started stealing these airplanes.
Really? That is impressive.
So give the guy credit. He could crash him well, but he also lives.
He avoided the Darwin rule.
Barely. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Who's your buddy? Is he your pal? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain how we use the buddy system in diving next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
For many, scuba diving is a social sport, but that's only one reason we use the buddy system. Ideally, dive buddies are evenly matched in skill level and can assist each other if necessary. They're not a crutch to lean on, but a backup system that, if used properly, can make your dive safer and more enjoyable. And if you're diving right, your buddy will likely end up being your pal, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Oh my, it smells like Grandma's house at Christmas. That's when we found her dead on the toilet.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure you treat me nice. And I feel just like I'm living in
is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed. Also from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes helping us out on this Christmas Eve. We very much appreciate it. That's kind of like our gift from Tom today. Santa came early here to Just Plane Radio. I think that's awesome. I really do. He's wearing shoes.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Slippers, if you must know.
Well, they're like pointy with bells on the end of them or something, but it's all part of the season, so it works. All right, a couple other little tidbits to navigate through here today. Trump is making some waves in the aviation world down there by Mar-a-Lago there in Palm Beach because the TFR they've set up over the holidays, I guess, is wreaking havoc down there. Is that getting back to AOPA headquarters where you are too, Tom, or what?
Yeah. Our technical staff has been working with the Secret Service and the FAA and others trying to come up with a more workable solution.
Yeah.
You know, just it makes no sense to shut down a major general aviation airport like that and cause all that havoc when there are ways to work around to provide a high level of security, but without all the hassle to everybody
else. Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm just reading the TFR, and this one's not bad. You know, surface to 2999 AGL, and as long as you're in contact with approach control, you can arrive and depart PBI. So I think the only thing it really screws up is flying the coastline for sightseeing tour.
Well, yeah,
which
and this
is about
like,
the only thing that it really
well,
it really
and we're in
hurt.
Prime season for that.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
People are doing their holiday.
It's high
fun
season
flights
down there, but this is nothing compared to what's going to happen after January 20th when he goes to his estate down there. When he goes to his estate down there, a 30-mile radius of that estate, no flight training allowed. That's going to encompass Boca, Lantana, North County.
That's where he is right now.
Yeah, but this TFR is just about 3 miles around his location. So the only airport impacted is Palm Beach International.
Ah, okay.
And there are no flight schools out of there. And it doesn't prohibit flight training. It doesn't prohibit arrivals and departures from there. So this one's not bad compared to what's coming.
Got it. So this is like a pre-president TFR.
Yeah, exactly. Once he takes office and he goes down there, and if he took a long vacation like this down there, and, you know, Obama came in a couple times down in that area and Stewart to play golf for a weekend and literally would shut these airports down because no flight training activity within 30 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you draw that ring around there, it hits some of the busiest flight training airports in the country.
Well, that's not good.
And, you know, Right. Let's think about, you know, hey, we're trying to make America great again. One of the best export products we have is aviation and flight training, and it's going to definitely impact that.
We're going to make America fly again.
That's right. That's more important.
Come on, Donald. Let's go.
Right. So, but
help
now,
here,
this
bro.
Is no different. Now, the other part about this is no different than if it was President Obama going down there. It has nothing to do with who it is. It's just his location of his vacation home. You know, and this happened with Obama going into Martha's Vineyard for, you know, a month in the summer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he was out in Hawaii, it would shut down airspace. Martha's Vineyard in the summer, how do you get there is by airplanes. And so that, you know, was a major impact. So, but, you know, this is the thing. It's not just him. It's any president since September of 2011 or 2001 that, you know, the TFRs were enacted. And it's just something that we have to get used to and deal with. It's just we ask, don't kill our businesses.
Well, you know, I got an idea, a solution. I don't know if AOPA has come up with this idea yet, Tom, but, you know, I'm going down to Disney here tomorrow to see this drone show they have at the Disney Springs. What do you mean, maybe? Mm-hmm. We're going.
Maybe.
We're going.
Maybe.
Come on. Don't bail
on
me now.
We can't get dinner reservations.
No, we don't need dinner. We're going to watch the drones.
I need dinner. But no, I've heard it's awesome.
That's what ice cream is for.
Maggie, one of our instructors, was at it last week and said it is totally worth going.
Right. I've seen videos of what they do, and it's all computer, you know, monitored, and they do all these designs. I was like, just set up a drone airspace guardian zone around Mar-a-Lago down there in Palm Beach and protect the president. He'll be good. And then they don't have to have such a big TFR. You know, of course, all the drones will be equipped with, like, laser guns from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, that could be the solution. Then they could collapse the TFR down within a reasonable range where it wouldn't affect, you know, flight schools and stuff. How do you like that?
I like that. I like that.
See? And just think of the video it would create when they had to take someone out.
Yep.
Or a bird or something. Or one of them crazy coyotes. That are, you know, crossing.
Yep. Know. There's a creative solution.
Okay. Maybe not the best one, but yeah, the most entertaining. It would produce the most entertainment for everybody, you know, while watching the aftermath and chaos that would ensue shortly thereafter. But
the Disney thing, I mean, is anybody else besides me see the irony of them asking for permission to fly stuff inside the airspace
their TFR,
over
their
park,
permanent TFR.
where the rest of us aren't allowed to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, I see lots of irony with Disney. Mm-hmm.
How quickly they got that done is shocking. I mean, Mickey moves fast, you know? Because we were just joking about this a few months ago, and then bam, they already got the show. And I will tell you, I have heard a little behind-the-scenes thing. I mentioned this last week, but someone told me that the show is relatively short.
About
like
5 minutes.
Yeah, I think he told me like 12. But the reason it's so short is because the drones heat up. Mm-hmm. And they can't fly that long before they start self-destructing, which doesn't sound like an ideal scenario.
Right.
And of course,
and
that
raining down on the ground.
That was an off-the-record conversation I had with someone who knew things. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know. So,
but they have like 300 drones in the show.
So that's a lot of drones that can overheat and land on your. No, they won't land on you. It's over water, so everybody's safe.
Yeah.
Until next time, enjoy your Christmas Eve, and remember, there's no better high
than
learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.